It's an awesome gift to be able to celebrate the solemnity of All Saints Day on a Sunday. Normally it falls on some other day of the week, so it becomes a holy day of obligation, but this time it's a Sunday, and that's really good for us because this Sunday is 2 days before this Tuesday, and there's a little thing going on this Tuesday that you might know about. And I think All Saints Day is a perfect way to approach that Tuesday wisely, because the saints give us perspective. Perspective is a great word. Latin roots, spatere, to look or see, and then per is a prefix that means through. So perspective means the ability to see through something, to see through something. And there's so much that we need to see through in these days, especially before this stupid election. So let me say just a couple things about that. You don't follow a donkey and you don't follow an elephant if you're a Catholic. You don't follow a donkey and you don't follow an elephant. You, if you're a Catholic, follow the Lamb of God, who is also the Lion of Judah. So see through what it seems to have taken over so many minds and hearts in this country. See through it, have perspective. I assure you the saints would tell you that. Do you think they care who's in the White House? No. They care if we're becoming the type of people we're supposed to be. That's what they care about. Political party, this or that, who cares? Here's what the saints care about, that you and I know what really matters in this life. And here's what really matters, that we become in this life the type of people who can be with God forever in heaven. I'll say it again, that we become in this life the type of people who can be with God forever in heaven. That's what matters. Anything that helps us on that path is worth it. Anything that distracts us from that path needs to be tossed aside. We're called to be saints, every single one of us, because a saint is someone who can be with God forever in heaven. And that's what you and I are made for. Anything less is a degradation of our dignity. Anything less is setting the sights too low. And once you understand that you're made for heaven, that the whole point of this earthly life is to become the type of person who can be with God forever in heaven, then everything in this life changes. All your joys, all the things that you're inspired by, all the things you want to give yourself to and how you want to use your talents, all of that changes if you know that you're made for heaven. And all your sorrows, all the trials and tribulations, and there are plenty in this life. It's a veil of tears in a lot of ways. All of that changes. If you can see that the point of all of it is to form you to be a man or a woman who can be with God forever in heaven. Here's wisdom from one of the great saints, Doctor of the Church, St. Teresa of Avila. She said, this is about the sorrows of life, compared to the joys of heaven, all the trials of this earthly life will be like one night in a bad hotel. Compared to the joys of heaven, all the sorrows of this earthly life will be like one night in a bad hotel. Perspective, to see through it, right? To see, yeah, and she knew suffering, by the way. Like, this wasn't like someone who just lived a super easy life and had nice rose-colored glasses. No, she knew real suffering in her life. But she knew also that compared to heaven, that suffering was nothing, because the joy of heaven had broken into her heart via her relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why the saints are so great. They transcend the externals, the circumstances of their life, and they go to what really matters. So last night, I was going around campus in the evening praying a rosary, and full moon. The moon was beautiful. It was great. And I finished the rosary, and then I was just interceding, and I was asking the saints who pray for us, right, who are alive. They're real people who are still real people. They just happen to have reached the goal of this earthly life. And so they're praying for us. So I was interceding and asking specific saints to pray for you all, pray for this place, pray for me. And at one point I just said, what would you want these young people to hear? What would you want them to hear? I mean, there's so many stories you could tell, but what would you want to say to them? And so then I just listened, and then I wrote down some things. So this could be straight from me, or it could be straight from heaven. Either way, this is good for you to hear. So some phrases. First phrase from the saints. You. Yeah, you. Isn't that profound? What would the saints say? You. Yeah, you. Me? Saint? No, that's for really holy people, and I'm just a normal person. No, you. Yeah, you. With everything that goes on in your heart. See, because we've misunderstood who the saints are. We've made them out to be superheroes with superpowers that we don't have. And that's not the case. They are ordinary people who have been transformed by extraordinary grace. And that path is wide open for you and for me. See, we make them into superheroes so we let ourselves off the hook, so we can be lukewarm and mediocre. And they're like, no, you. Yeah, you. Great phrase, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future, right? You, yeah, you. Well, I don't know, I mean, I'm super messed up. And here comes St. Mary Magdalene running in, going like, excuse me, I was possessed by 7 demons. Right? Here comes Blessed Bartolo Longo, who I love. It's so great. The guy was a satanic priest who's a blessed. He's a saint. You think you're messed up. Bartolo Longo comes along and says, hold on a second. Right? And the reason I love him, by the way, is because he got messed up by bad ideas that his college professors told him. So I've been interceding and asking him for help for you all here. So he's a good saint. I love that guy. He was the one who came up with the 5 luminous mysteries. St. John Paul II pulled them from Blessed Bartolo Longo. So the guy changed the rosary. He was a satanic priest. Don't think that you're too messed up to become a saint. One after another would come and say, hold on a second. Let me tell you my history. Let me tell you how God worked in my life. Right? We can't excuse ourselves that way. Oh, I'm not talented enough. I'm not super smart. Here comes St. John Vianney, who almost got thrown out of seminary because he was too dumb. And he's a great saint. Oh, I just want a simple life. Great. Perfect. Here comes St. Therese. With simplicity, she followed the Lord and did what he asked her to do. And she's a doctor of the church, a great saint, right? We can't make excuses. So you, yeah, you, absolutely, you. You are called to be a saint, and so am I. What else would they say? Another phrase, go deep and want it. So go deep, that doesn't mean just like, you know, 45 yards down the field. Go deep means go deep into things. Right? St. Augustine, a great saint, another doctor of the church, he knew well that the deepest desire of every human heart, of your heart, of my heart, of every person you will ever meet in your life, is hardwired for God. That's why he gave one of the greatest phrases ever, one of the most true statements about the human heart. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Isn't that a great line? You see how much the saints have to teach us? Because he knew it in his own life. A restless heart, and he chased after all sorts of things. The same things that you and I chase after. St. Augustine did it 1,700 years ago. And he knew the truth, that his heart was restless There was no thing in the world, no pleasure in the world, nothing in this world could satisfy the restlessness of his heart. He knew it, and he was aware of it. And so he said, hearts are restless until they rest in you. So we got to go deep. That same St. Augustine, he said, the whole of the Christian life is nothing other than holy desire. All of the Christian life is a holy desire, not just to go deep into your heart, but then to want it. You got to want it. See, St. Irenaeus, second century saint, he said, God would not save us without us. He won't save me unless I want to be saved. It's not that we want too much, it's that we'll settle for too little. That's the danger. That's the danger for every one of you. Not that you'll want too much out of this life, it's that you'll settle for too little. So don't settle. Go to the deepest desire of your heart, which is guaranteed to be a desire for God. And then want that. Let that desire shape and form every other desire. It'll change your whole life. But you gotta want it. So go deep and want it. Another thing they'd say, don't wait. Don't wait. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The most dangerous word in the spiritual life is later. Later. Oh, I'm so young. I'll get to it later. What makes you think you would? What makes you think that if you ignore God in your late teens and your entire 20s, that somehow in your 30s, you're going to want him? What makes you think that? No, now. That's the most encouraging word in the spiritual life, is now. Not later, now. The saints are all about giving their hearts to God right away. Go back to St. Augustine. He had his wanderings, he had his conversion. And at the end of it all, he said, late have I loved you, beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. I wasted so much time chasing after things that don't matter. You don't have to do that. You have your youth. Use it. Use it for the best things right away. That's a great thing, to use your youth for the best things right away. Don't wait. Another phrase, you're not alone. You're not alone. The reason people think they can't be saints, that it's for someone else, some special class of spiritual people, is because they think of themselves and themselves alone. And when they look at themselves, they see all their flaws and failings, all their weaknesses, all the ways that God seems to be too far beyond them. But every saint, every single one would be like, no, you're not alone. The whole point of the incarnation is that you're not alone, that Jesus is with you, like right now, that he's working on your heart right now to draw you to himself, that he wants you, that he comes to you, that he doesn't wait for you, but he breaks in on your life. He is constantly knocking at the door of your heart, constantly. So you're not alone. We don't make ourselves holy. We don't earn our way to sainthood. It's grace. It's a gift. Yes, we have to respond to it, but it's a gift. You're not alone. Jesus won't let you try to do it alone. He'll be there at every step of the way, including when you fall. He's always there. And the saints would want you to know that so much. Also, they're with you. The saints are interceding right now for every single person here in a very real way. See, the saints aren't dead. They've reached the goal. They're fully alive. They're more alive than you and than me because they're closer to the source of life, who is God. And so they're interceding right now to say, come alive. You're not alone. They're cheering us on. St. Paul in Hebrews 12 says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the saints, let us persevere in running the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus, who inspires and perfects our faith. You have to imagine this throng, the canonized saints, yes, but also every single person throughout human history who's with God forever in heaven. They're saints. Most of them we don't know of, but some of your family, They're the cloud of witnesses looking down on you, cheering you on, saying, go for it. You're not alone. That's why we come to church, because the saints join us. Or better, we join them in the praise and the worship that they give to God. Right? And then we're inspired and we move. Lastly, I'd say this. The saints would tell you that you're needed. You are needed right now for the sake of the church and for the sake of this world. St. John Paul II, he had a great line, actually some lines to you all. It's actually on our little John Paul II holy card on the back. He wrote this in 2005, right before he died. Dear young people, the church needs genuine witnesses for the new evangelization. So witnesses, people who have seen. Men and women whose lives have been transformed by meeting with Jesus. Men and women who are capable of communicating this experience to others. See, that's you. Men and women whose lives have been transformed by meeting with Jesus, to come to know him. That's the whole point of this life. That's the whole point of this college, to know Jesus Christ. And then to be able to communicate that to other people, to your roommates who aren't here, to your teammates who aren't here, to your classmates who aren't here, who don't know for sure if God really loves them. The more we get close to that fire and catch it, then we bring it to the world. The church needs that, needs you. You are needed. JP2 goes on. The church needs saints. All are called to holiness. And holy people alone can renew humanity. The church needs saints. The church doesn't need lukewarm, mediocre Christians. The church needs saints. The church doesn't need people who stand on the sidelines. The church needs people who are in the fight. The church doesn't need people who sit apart from the fray and criticize. The church needs people who pray and then who get involved. The church needs saints. All are called to holiness. All. You, me, all of us. We're all called to be saints. And then this great line, and holy people alone can renew humanity. Holy people alone. Not donkeys or elephants. Saints. People who follow the Lamb. Holy people alone can renew humanity. Brothers and sisters, we come to the source of holiness, Jesus Christ, in this Mass. The saints, they're encouraging us and cheering us on so that what happened in their hearts could happen to ours. What happened in their hearts was the love of Jesus Christ took control and set them ablaze. May that, what happened in their hearts, happen in yours and in mine.